Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I want to share a short prophetic word with you. Are you ready for all that the Lord is set to do? You said you're ready, right? Thank you, Jesus. All right, so first and foremost, it's the second anniversary of Celebration Church United Kingdom. Are you excited? You see, a wise man said, where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse then becomes inevitable. We do not do anything as a ministry just because it is popular. And so I want you to understand why, not just why anniversary celebrations like this are important, but why you should adopt this ideology for anything meaningful that the Lord does in your life. I want to show you why. Anniversaries like this afford us the opportunity to remember. Can you all say remember? And you see, this is such an important principle in God's kingdom. There are things you must never forget. And you see, there are two types of memories. There is conscious memory and subconscious memory. For instance, subconscious memory are things that latch onto you without you deliberately learning. For instance, there are many songs that we know that we never really deliberately learned. You just heard them often enough. Isn't that true? But then there is conscious memory. Everyone who schooled in Africa knows conscious memory because you cramped to pass. Don't lie. Now, there are some people, you just hang around them often and so you know their name. But there are some people you had to deliberately learn their name. Some of you know what I'm saying, especially the interesting ones. I think it was in the university I first saw someone whose name has, I think, about 15 letters. You know, a beautiful name, by the way. So, but those are the kind of stuff you need to deliberately learn. And I'm saying, thank God for the nice things you remember that God has done for you. But you see, there must be a structure and a discipline of remembrance. If you want to grow in the things of God, this is one of the things that you must learn. It's a secret. And as I build my case, I want to start with the popular story, the Exodus. The night before God brought the children of Israel out, he gave them a very firm instruction. And he said, what I'm about to do, you must commemorate. You must commemorate. Every year, you must create a system of annual thanksgiving. Because what I'm doing is that big and that important. I want you to see it for yourself. Look at Exodus chapter 13. We'll read verses 8 and 9. Exodus 13, 8 and 9. Verse 8, it says, on the seventh day. So, I mean, this is going to take days. Come on, are you with me? He says, and on the seventh day, you must explain to your children. Oh my God. So he's saying a time will come. You're going to have children who didn't witness this, but they must know. I can preach a whole sermon on this. You see, one of the crucial aspects of parenting is introducing your children to the God that you know. Come on, are you with me? That's one thing I would always appreciate my dad for. He's the first prayer warrior I know. I saw it up close. I saw what it means, you know, to ask and receive. This, I didn't read it in a book before I saw it. Are you listening to me? My dad was very successful very early, but things began to happen. He lost everything, and for about 18 months going on 2 years, no job. So he told all of us, he said, "You see that corner of the house? I'm going in there. Don't disturb me except it is urgent." And so he went in there 3 days on his knees, calling on the name of the Lord. And then day three, someone called his phone. You remember Nokia 3310? So he can have an idea how long that was. Called his phone. And she was not with his phone. So my sister picked and he said, "Where has your dad been? We've been looking for him." "Looking for him where? How?" Something about the prayer stirred up an urgency. Are you listening to me? And so literally, my sister took the phone to my dad and met him on his knees. So the answer came on his knees. I said, I have seen answer to prayer practically. What is it about this man who has been going up and down, knocking on different offices, you know, asking for help, you know, saying, "Do you have any job for me?" And nobody who claimed to be looking for him found him then. Until he went on his knees. So come on, are you listening to me? So now, God is teaching them. He says, "You're going to tell your children what I'm about to do. Your children need to hear about it. They need to learn about it." He says, on the seventh day, explain to your children. He said, explain it to them thus. "I am celebrating what the Lord did for me when I left Egypt." Oh my God. God is so powerful. Just imagine, when he was telling them this, they were still in Egypt. And he's saying, very soon, I would have brought you out. You will not be a slave anymore. You will have children in your freedom who will need to hear about this. I like how God talks. He was talking like it's already done. I think that's phenomenal. He was talking like Pharaoh was already defeated. He's saying, you know what? That one is the easier part. Here is what you need to learn. Maybe that's a prophetic word to some of you today. God is telling you that problem, it's about to disappear. But here is what you're going to do. I want you to learn to thank me. Because create a system of devotion to remember. He said, this is your final night experiencing this plague. You will tell your children. Explain it to them. And say, this annual festival, verse 9, it says it will be a visible sign. God wants something that will be a memorial. A visible sign, a mark branded on your hand and on your forehead. Let it remind you always to recite this teaching to the Lord. With a strong hand, the Lord has rescued me from Egypt. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Can you say that? Say, with a strong hand, the Lord has rescued me. Say it again. Say, with a strong hand, the Lord has rescued me. So God is saying, the same way you have a prayer routine, you must have a Thanksgiving routine. And there are some things that God has done you must always remember. And in fact, throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you will see time and again, God reminded them, "Remember how I brought you out of Egypt." So not just the anniversary of your church, you must have anniversaries, commemorations in your life. Come on, are you with me? There are some events you must mark. I thought this will end my life. God ended it instead. I remember. Come on, are you with me? I remember. You must make it a point of duty to remember. Some things you must meticulously praise God for. There are some things you don't gloss over. I'm not talking about, "Lord, thank you for today." That's great. But when the Bible says, count your blessings, Name them one by one. There are some things, there must be special seasons of Thanksgiving where you say, Lord, I remember this one. I remember that one. I remember this. I remember that. Remember. Please nudge the person by your side and say, remember. You were not sure you were going to finish school because there was no fees. You are finished. You are done. You have a job. Now, when I said that, many of you say, hey, because you can't relate, right? Remember. Remember. God wants you to remember. There's some of you, it's a miracle your marriage is still standing. It's the hand of God that held you together. Remember. Some of you, it's a miracle you're still alive. Maybe the doctor is even shocked. Remember. Come on, are you with me? God wants you to commemorate His goodness in your life. Make it a point of duty. Those who are fervent in making requests must be fervent in thanksgiving. Those who are fervent in making requests, fervent in prayer, must be fervent in thanksgiving. Like I said, this has to be a conscious memory, deliberate memory. And then the second thing the Lord asked me to tell you that might seem contradictory, but is not. The first one, just to be sure you're following, is what? Is what? Remember, right? Number two, remember not. I mean, so, and this is where context comes in. There is what to remember, and there is what to forget. And I'll tell you where the difference is. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. The Bible says, remember not the former things, 43 verse 18, right? My note is playing games with me, but am I correct? All right. I need a hand. That's why it's good to cram these things. It says, do not remember the former things. And you're like, God, which one? Do I remember or forget? Now, this is where context comes in. It says, nor consider the things of old. It says, for behold, I do a new thing. Now, this is the difference. You see, remembering ought to be for gratitude, not for complacency. That's the difference. So when he says remember, he's not talking about amnesia. He's talking about dwelling on it in such a way that instead of inspiring gratitude to God, it forms a pride in you that kills your hunger for what God wants to do in your life. There are some people who are always dwelling on the past, what they did in 1982. What they did in 1995. And God is saying, hey, there is more to be done. Come on, are you with me? So, listen. On one hand, I must never forget. I must remain grateful to God for all He has done. As a church. I remember when this church started, you know, looking at the pictures or getting reports. Once upon a time, we were like 30. Am I correct? And I'm seeing this, oh God, disciples raised, ministers raised, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, and the purpose of that remembrance is for gratitude. And to tell the people coming about the faithfulness of God. We weaponize that memory when we see challenges. And we say, God who delivered the lion and the bear to us will deliver Goliath as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the purpose. But you see, there is a tendency for you to now take that up as an avenue for pride. And you become complacent. And God wouldn't have you do that. And so he says, remember not the former things. He's not asking you not to be grateful for them. He said, nor consider the things of old. So he's talking about just dwelling on it in such a way that it stands in the way of the new things God wants to do. Oh my God. There are some new things that would desire you to disassociate yourself with the old. Some new things. Can I tell you something? I think this is one of the biggest secrets of my life. God has shielded me in such a way that success, it doesn't latch onto me. I feel like my spirit is like a Grand Canyon. If you throw an achievement there, it will go down. You won't see it. I'm ready for the next one. Oh God, thank you. What next? Are you listening to me? The reason this is important is because a lot of people just rise and play too. And I think I said this, I can't remember where, recently, one deeper. I think it's also to an extent an African phenomenon. Because you see, many Africans have been so poor so long, all they think of is survival. And instead of thinking about significance and legacy, all they care about is success. And so once they hit it, they play too. And it all disappears. I was in a strategic management class, MBA, and much to my shock, the discussion there was if there was any company founded by a Nigerian that was more than 100 years old. We were struggling to find strategic management class. Because what usually happens is you reach a level of success and you mess up the transition. The ones who even try transition will give it to one son who doesn't care, just wants to flex. I know you may not like that one because one of the most inspiring things I've seen, and I will keep talking about it because it's inspiring to me. The athlete LeBron James became a billionaire in dollars, and he's still playing. Do you know how strange that is to me as an African? It's very strange to me as an African that a billionaire in dollars is still wearing shorts. First and foremost, no African billionaire will wear shorts. First and foremost, for any reason. And he's playing and passionate. It means what is driving him is not money. Come on, are you with me? See, you can fall in love with purpose. That's what God wants us to understand. Stop thinking just success. Start thinking legacy. Come on, are you with me? That's the promise to Abraham. He says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham was not just thinking subsistence. He was not thinking about the survival of his immediate family. He was thinking spiritual legacy. Start thinking spiritual legacy. Are you listening to me? Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. He says, behold, I do a new thing. It's a great gift. Some people, when they touch 10 million, any small thing, do you know who I am? As a Nigerian, how many times have you heard that phrase? Anywhere, do you know what? Everybody is somebody. Meanwhile, you are just starting. Come on, are you with me? Never lose the wonder. Never lose the hunger unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Come on, are you with me? You know, I remember when we had just planted our second church. And I felt very radical to leave Lagos and go to Abuja to start the second church. I felt God must be really proud. And make no mistake, he was. But you see, I was praying with the team, you know, and just praying, and out of nowhere, I know he's God, he does not need to say good morning or anything, but, you know, without any introduction, what I heard was, you are not radical enough. It was so shocking, I had to stop. I was like, I'm not radical enough. I and my family moved. I was feeling like a modern day Abraham. I was feeling like modern day Abraham. You think it's easy? Leave a church. We moved with such urgency, we had not got a house yet. We had to stay in a hotel for days before house was settled. We didn't wait. God said, move. So I felt, and then imagine me praying and God saying, you're not radical enough. And I said, why? How? And listen, some of you, what I'm about to say will shoot into your spirit because it's true about you. God said, I have given you more than you are taking. Oh my God. He was right. He was right. In case you are not counting, between 2020 and now, we have planted 20 branches. Do you hear what I just said? God was right. He was right. And it's when you begin to take stock, you see. When you're walking with God, walking by faith, you don't even understand what He's helping you conquer until you turn back and see the distance you've covered just by obeying God. We had a pastor's retreat last month, and I discovered the annual income 2020 is our weekly expenditure now. Did you hear what I said? And that's not, I'm not saying that, I'm saying that because I'm helping you see how God can expand your mind. Don't see that from a carnal standpoint. Don't think, what do you think we're using it to do? To flex? ...99% of what all we do is for the work. Because God kept stretching us. I told you, December, the Lord told us this year, anywhere they call you, go. And I'm like... I want to ask, how? With which money? You know, but it's the one funding. Amen, somebody? Amen. And so we just go. Just go. Hallelujah. Why am I telling you this? So that you can apply it to your personal context. God said, remember not the former things. Come on, are you with me? So there must be that balance in my life. I'm looking back and I'm grateful for all that God has done. Listen, oh my God, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Every progress and process must be duly appreciated. But then, after you have given God thanks, ensure you put it at the deep recesses of your mind so that you can forge ahead. Because the old can stop you from seeing the new. Come on, are you with me? And if you walk with God, you will understand that Shekinah moves. If you camp around what God did, it's God that did it. It's God. So it's understandable that you were there for a while. But you see, that cloud will move. You must make sure that your obedience is constant, is current. Make sure. If you don't do that, you will kill Isaac thinking that you are obeying God. Did you hear what I said? Your obedience must be current. Otherwise, all the things you are celebrating will play to, and you'll be wondering why. Never forget, just because the manna came from God does not mean it cannot get stale. It will go stale. Tomorrow, there is a fresh provision. So you must create that balance of gratitude and at the same time forging ahead. And listen, when the Bible tells us to remember not, for some of us, it's not past success that is our problem. It's past failures. And you have to see how that has the capacity to hinder us. You know, I read a very touching story about lobsters. True life, I mean, this is science. And I think it's very relatable, even though a lot of us don't reckon it so, that lobsters, their brain is out of their body, just on their head. And here is the interesting thing. The size of the brain of a lobster is commensurate with its victories in life. It's amazing. Because you see, lobsters, they have to fight for space. There's no real estate agent under the ocean. So if you're going to get the best spot, you are going to have to fight. And of course, at animals, it's very important. You get the best spots, you get the best babes. And so, when you have a good space, another lobster is going to try to take it from you. And the more victories a lobster has, its brain gets bigger. Come on. Maybe this is true about us. Maybe the way we talk, the way we look, our physical appearance sometimes is a reflection of our victories in life. Of the subconscious, how strong our subconscious mind is, how confident we are based on the success that we've had. Oh, anyway, hold on. But you see, the moment they fight and they lose, that brain will die, and a smaller, inferior brain, consistent with their new station in life, will grow. Think about that. And when you think about it, that happens to a lot of people. When they tried something lofty and failed, it now becomes a trigger. When God is trying to get them to do something great, they just remember. They just remember. Come on, are you with me? And it just disqualifies them from what God wants to do. Now, Jesus walks to that man who had been lame 38 years, and he asks him a simple question: will you be made whole? And he's explaining all his past failures. I've been here for years. The miracle has been happening for others right in my presence. I will want to go, but I have no man. That was not the question. And before you criticize the man, you have to make sure that that's not the same thing you are doing. It can happen subconsciously. Every time you have the opportunity to do something big, for some of us, it's an investment. You tried an investment and your money sank ever since then. Of course, you should gain wisdom because some investments are foolish. I don't know if I should talk to you. Personal opinion. I am a traditional businessman. If it is not buying, selling, there must be product, there must be customer, there must be trade. Anything, I'm not that intelligent. When you say Bitcoin, I don't understand. What is the product? Where are the customers? Where is the market? If you can't explain those three things for me, I don't understand. Then, okay, there is money, but it's not here. I don't do that. I don't do that. And listen, make no mistake, if you have extra cash to, listen, you must have different levels of investment, different levels of security. Come on, are you with me? Uh-huh. So the truth is this. I'm actually at the point where I can try that. The money I'm not using, I'll just put it there. But your life investment, even the people who are doing it and are successful, if they are honest with you, they will tell you don't try it. Any money that if you lose, you will die. Don't put in Bitcoin. Laugh, but hear me now. Personally, I don't like things that rise and fall. The Bible says the path of the just. I don't like rising and falling. Anything I have to monitor, it's high, it's low. I don't have time. I like land, gold. Those are the things I like. House, land, gold. Or a business that can be bringing profits. I don't know anything that is doing peekaboo, business peekaboo. I'm here. I'm not. I don't know. I don't like it. Oh, you're rich. You're poor. You're rich. I don't like it. I don't do peekaboo business. I get money or I no get. Which one is? Hallelujah. But you see, I think the biggest blessing of resources is that you break away from that scarcity mentality. You see, if you think like a poor man, you cannot innovate. You can't innovate. Think about it. When you hear how inventions are made, you will scarcely get it right the first time. So you must have enough resources to experiment enough, to fail enough, to eventually get it. And guess what? In case you've not been told, thank God for strategic management courses and business management courses. But you see, the way the business terrain is, it is designed in such a way that even the biggest geniuses, they will still do some things that will not work. Such is life. Just in case you don't know, even the Bible says that money can take wings and fly away. Sometimes it's not the devil. It's life. Are you listening to me? It's life. So if you are a Christian, thank God for favor. Thank God that you pray. But you know what? Have savings. Let me tell you this. If you have 7 years of plenty, even without someone dreaming and interpreting, you shouldn't have 7 years of lack. Hear what I just said. Some of you, this is a prophetic word to you. If God has given you 7 years of plenty, whether anybody dreamt or not, you shouldn't be stranded in 7 years of lack. I'm saying there are some things that with proper planning, prophetic gifts will be used for other things. Why should God have to tell you to save? Are you listening to me? Why should God have to tell you to save? Thank God for mercy. Thank God for dreams. Thank God for interpretation. But let me say this. Let me bring it home to you. It doesn't matter how sure you are about that business, how sure you are of that job. Because you're having a windfall now, save, save. Are you listening to me? You must have investments, have savings. If God blessed you for a season, and then in a season of lack, you are stranded, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Please, are you with me? So you must develop that wisdom and that structure. Like I've said before, if you have 20,000 naira, the people who use 20,000 perfume are not your mates. It's not everything your money can buy that you can afford. You have the money, but you can't afford it. There are two different things. If your salary is 100K, you can't afford 80K perfume. You can't afford it. That you have the money does not mean you can afford it. Please, don't eat your future. I don't know why the Lord is making me... Don't spray your future. There are some people who smell it and go. That your destiny, they have smell... Hallelujah. And then when you do things right, a time will come you can do all of those things from the reserve and still be okay. Please, don't let anyone put you under pressure. But anyway, I said all of that to say this. God said, forget the former things. And don't consider the things of old. He said, behold, I do a new thing. I want to announce both corporately as a church and individually, God is going to do a new thing in your life. Amen. And so I'm giving you this prophetic instruction. It doesn't matter how great you've been. All those small successes that you've been telling people, it's time for the new. Amen, everybody? Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants you to expand your mind. He said, behold, I do a new thing. So listen, your gaze must be for the new. Set your gaze for something new, something bigger. There is yet more. Hallelujah. There is yet more. Man of God, there is yet more. More in this land. Come on, are you with me?
Yes,
challenge yourself in God. Expand your faith. Don't look back. Forge ahead. I told you the last time I came, because I'm saying this because many of you, you know, is where I come from that you came from, right? I just look around and I see jackpot everywhere. I'm not shading you because you're already black, so. But listen to this. I said this before and I'm saying it again prophetically. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Daniel, and Joseph, all those people I mentioned have one thing in common. They prospered in strange lands. Hallelujah. You might have come in here insecure, looking for a job, not just looking for your footing. There's a space for you in the palace. Listen, I want you to expand your mind. You see, especially on this ground, in this land, in this city, there is a survivor mentality. Survivor mentality. It's good that you're willing to do anything. To be a cleaner, you know, to do anything, menial stuff. But, hey, expand your mind. Are you listening to me? Oh, do you believe what I'm saying? God can do it. God said I should tell you that he would do a new thing. You believe it? He said I should tell you. I came all the way to announce to you, behold, I will do a new thing. You've been faithful in little. It's time for more. You received that, right? I said you've been faithful in little, but it's time for more. Right now, they are discussing your name in the palace. Space has been created for your gifts. I said, space has been created for your gifts. And even people who ought to have remembered, they have remembered now. I said, space has been created for your gifts. I give you a few minutes. Pray in the spirit right now. Pray in the spirit right now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In the next few minutes, we'll be out of here. So listen and listen good. I said all of that to say this. So now Jesus is surrounded by a multitude of people. They had been with him for days. They are hungry. And he picks a loaf of bread. And he gives thanks. I spoke to you about gratitude, right? How is God going to do a new thing? What is the connection between remembering for gratitude, remembering not for progress? How am I going to see a new thing in my life? The connection is this. Thanksgiving unlocks creative miracles. It's a pattern in the Word of God. Listen, I'm not trying to preach a good sermon. I am telling you by the grace of God what I know. Thanksgiving unlocks creative miracles. I mean, there is no bread to feed these people. All we have is 5 loaves. And I take one. I bless it. Bless God. And I break it. You know what the Bible says in the book of Job? The Bible says that when the foundations of the world were being crafted, the morning stars, that is the angels, they sang for joy. I think there is a connection between praise, thanksgiving, and creative miracles. You want to see light where there has been darkness, you have to learn to praise the Lord. Come on, are you with me? And so it begins to make sense because you see, when you're reading Genesis chapter 1, there is something behind the scenes that you didn't know. You have to come to Job chapter 38 to see. That darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved over the face of the deep. And then God said, the Bible says, whilst all of that was happening, the morning stars sang for joy. There is a connection between praise and creative miracles. Listen, there is nobody who experienced creative miracles that was not taught not to despise what they have. The widow said, all I have is a handful of flour that I and my son will eat and die. You have to learn to stop talking like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I am grateful for what I have, and I know that in that gratitude, a creative miracle will produce more. Come on, are you with me? The connection between where I am and all that God has asked me to be is my praise. And praise will stir up a creative miracle. You know what? When the prophet tells you, go and check. I've been praying, go check. Don't come back and say, I don't really see nothing. All I see is a small hand. You see, for a natural person, someone who is not trained in the things of God, that is small. But the prophet knows what to do with small. Come on, are you with me? I said the prophet knows what to do with small. It's a consistent theme throughout the Bible. Jesus knows 5 loaves is not small. A handful of flour is not small. Don't you see the consistency? And a small cloud, the size of a hand, is not small. For whatever it is that you want God to do, what God has asked us to do, before, my praying is going to be very short. The Lord said, I should ask you all to thank Him. Come on, are you with me? For some of you, you are thanking Him for good things. Good things that will become great things. Come on, are you with me? For some of you, you are thanking Him for not so good things. In fact, bad things happening in your life that will be made good. Come on, are you with me? And the Lord, listen, as someone who has heard from God, I am telling you, in the name of this God that I know, if you would do this in faith and from your heart, you will see creative miracles. And so here is what you're going to do. For those of you who are sick, God, the doctor said, my heart has this problem. But I was strong enough to even come for this meeting. I thank you. Some other people died, and I'm not mocking them. Do you understand what I'm saying? They have eternity with you. But that I could wake up today, I am thankful. Listen, whatever is not working will not distract me from appreciating God for what is working. So I want you to look around your life. In the midst of a hungry multitude, that single loaf of bread, thank Him for it. Whatever represents scarcity in your life, thank God for it. Come on, are you with me? And so I want you to touch key aspects of your life. Your health, your career, your ministry, key aspects of your life, your family. Someone says, God, I am not married yet. Oh, so you are marriable. It means you still have the sanity to recognize that you are single. You may think I'm joking, but I'm not. Lord, I thank you. I'm going to give you just a few minutes, 5 minutes. Thank him from your heart right now. Thank him from your heart. 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 Take a posture and thank him. Don't forget, the word of God says, count your blessings. I want you to mention, oh Jesus, as many things as you can.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.